All right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Trying to pull up Rumble here so I can say to everybody. Mine froze. I'm seeing if I can get it going here. Come on. What is that? Rumble must have gone down.
It's good on my side.
Okay, I got nothing. That's weird.
I'll fix it.
All right. Wow. All right, it's weird because I'm so used to seeing the chat. It's absolutely blank over here. See, it's on Rumble.
Yeah.
It ain't working. It's actually not user error, so I have no idea what's happening with it. But anyway, all right, I'm going to hop on to some before, and I'll say to everybody in the chat as soon as we get Rumble up and running. Want to get to two things before we get to everything Trump, everything Doge, all those things, because we'll get lost in them. Because these are two stories that I had for last night, but obviously we couldn't do them because of the State of the Union address, which is great, by the way. When you have a CNN poll and 70% of Americans liked what they heard, it's unheard of. They're talking about it on Bannon's War Room today. This is an event that you never see in D.C., but maybe once every 25, 30 years. I mean, having a speech that was liked by that many Americans, by really a large majority of Americans, and the Democrats sit there and basically Trump has pigeonholed them into believing for things and or standing for things that 80% of America hates. I mean, really, and not only that, but he maneuvered them into that situation early on in the speech by saying, I know there's nothing that I could ever do, accomplish, or say that you will stand for. So then when he does all of those things, whether it was the guy that he brought home from Russia, whether it was the tragedies, everybody should be standing in support of a cop's wife whose cop husband was gunned down in the streets of New York because of Democratic Party policies by an illegal alien. Everybody should be standing in support of this woman. No matter where you even stand on the border, you ought to be supporting an American citizen who had her husband gunned down in the streets of New York. But the Democrats won't even stand for that. They wouldn't stand for the kid who had a brain cancer, 13 operations, something like that. Trump made him honorary Secret Service agent. Didn't stand for that. I was watching it. I'm like, hey, Aaron. I said, Aaron, there's a couple people standing at least over there. And he goes, no, those are actually Republicans. They're just forced to sit on that side because Aaron ran down who they were. So, I mean, none of them. So Trump is more than anything, the speech was great. He's staying on task. I mean, he did a great job. And I'm one that always wants Trump to stay on task, by the way. I like his rants. But anyway, staying on task. But really what he did more than anything was systematically destroy the Democratic Party last night. But anyway, before we get to all things Trump, because there's a Supreme Court decision we have to go over and things like that, I want to show you a couple things on vaccines. This is a Don Keith video. The truth about a Texas kid who died for the measles. See, now what we're doing is, right, we're winning. But underneath all of these victories right now, there is an undercurrent of opposition, obviously, waiting for an opportunity. Opposition waiting for an opportunity to sprout up and oppose us. And one of the things when they're going to come against MAHA, when they're going to come against RFK Jr., come against the Department of HHS that he's in charge of now, they're going to attack him on measles because he said things against the measles vaccine. And, you know, and again, the things that he said are 100% true. There's nothing really to argue about with it. Measles, I mean, again, when the measles vaccine was rolled out the year before the measles vaccine was rolled out, 300 Americans died. 300 total Americans died. And this was back when everything was an unsanitary condition in the United States of America. 300 total Americans, and you got to have a vaccine for that? The same thing. It's the same ideology as the COVID-19 vaccination, 99.997% survival virus. You have to have a vaccine. So they're going to try to break out these lies to usher in a larger globalist medical industrial complex response to all the victories of Trump. That's what they want to be able to tear down aspects of Trump, usher in totalitarianism using the medical industrial complex. All right, so Don Keith video, the truth about the Texas kid who died for the measles. Play for me, Will.
So the mother of the child in Texas that they ruled a measles death posted in a Facebook group, and it is now... Oh, this makes me so mad. The child went to the hospital to get treated for pneumonia and RSV. They then proceeded to give that child the MMR vaccination. What do you think is going to happen when you test a child for measles after receiving the live virus vaccine? I thought that we didn't vaccinate kids when they were already sick. That's supposed to be a thing. Whether they have a slightly runny nose or RSV, you should not vaccinate a child when they are already sick. They don't vaccinate dogs and cats when they're sick. Why the hell would you do it with a human child? So they ruled it a measles death when the child tested positive after receiving the vaccine and being in the hospital for two other infections.
Now you see how the medical industrial complex works. They cause the problem and then offer you their solutions. What happens? This kid go and they're going to say, you see, look what's happening under RFK's regime. Kids are dying of measles, right? That's what they're going to say. Believe me, it's going to come out. And if everybody stands and ignores it, it won't take. Just like monkeypox didn't take. We all stood at Alex Jones, exposed it. Remember they tried to bring masking back in to the airport. That was exposed. And then we all stood against it. The same thing they're going to try to do here. Look how horrible RFK is. Because he's spoken out against the useless, doesn't work measles vaccination. So this kid comes into the hospital with pneumonia. And they automatically vaccinate him against the measles. You never, when somebody is immunocompromised, you absolutely, when they come in with pneumonia, obviously they already have a viral infection. Would everybody agree? So you don't vaccinate them with live virus? I shouldn't have gotten the vaccines.
Yep.
you don't go, what are these doctors and these nurses, these experts, what are they thinking? The kid is already immunocompromised and you flood his body with new live viruses and then he dies of the measles. And they're going to say, look, RFK is causing kids to die of the measles. It's the same thing as the Ukraine war. Look at Putin attacking Zelensky. Nobody goes back into what actually caused it. What caused this kid to die of measles is that they actually gave him the measles in the hospital. Just so you know, when these stories start to break out, I know, Tommy, you tell me it is military-esque, that the medical industrial complex is willing to kill kids to sell shots? Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at this one now. Brett video. This is a Rebel News piece coming out of Canada. First bombshell in the Theresa Tam emails for my access to information. ACT request. That's their FOIA. The Public Health Agency of Canada, PHAC, led by Theresa Tam, of course, very strangely a Chinese woman, subjected Inuit babies, like Eskimos or Native Canadians, babies to experimental drug trials without their or their parents' consent. They were injecting Native Canadians with vaccines, with drugs, not vaccines necessarily, but with drug trials without their consent. Play for me.
Emails reveal that the Public Health Agency of Canada, led by Theresa Tam, conducted medical experiments on innocent Inuit babies without their parents, or their community's informed consent to do so. These secret trials tested expensive pharmaceutical drugs in a failed program, all while ignoring ethical standards and operating with zero accountability. Today's report is a bombshell, and it's definitely not one that you will hear from the mainstream media. This information has been hidden for years, buried under government secrecy in the depths of Chief Public Health Officer of Canada, Theresa Tam's emails, which are slowly being trickled out after an access to information request by Brett Sears was made public on X. Due to the breadth of the response spanning 450,000 pages of Theresa Tam's emails, this is going to be released in phases, and Brett took to X to call for help in dissecting the response to ensure that no stone goes unturned.
So there you have it. I mean, again, I don't want to talk, I've already said most that I could say about it, but you have the Public Health Agency of Canada, led by Theresa Tam, subjected Eskimo babies, Native Canadian babies, to experimental drugs without telling their parents. I mean, who are these people? I'm wondering if in the measles case, did they tell the parents that they were injecting that kid with the measles while their kid was immunocompromised with pneumonia? I'm just telling you all of these things to let you know that the evil is still there. Even though we're winning, we get 70% approval rating on a speech. And Trump is awesome. And Trump's doing a great job. But these evil people are still in place and trying to usher in the totalitarian agenda using peace and safety, trying to save you. Save you from the, you know, from pandemics, from sickness, illness, disease, from viral infections. They're not trying to save anybody from anything. They're just trying to usher in a totalitarian system, obviously, where they can control all of your moves. All right, let me say it to everybody in the chat. Peg Joe is on. Sexy Pony's on. Lady Boo is on. JD Wool is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Six Lynn is on. Lady Boo. I got Lady Boo already. Granite 2468. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Judy Anita's on. JC 360's on. Alaska Man 1165 is on. Dave Souders is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Order in the Court is on. Bovo 960 is on. Salt and Light Seeker is on. Something like TTTUS is on. Chopper Supernut is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Peg McGroin is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Vovo 960 is on. Pumpkin Drifting on Wood is on. Let me see here. Who did I miss? John Phillips 1973 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Mike Griffith's on. Let me see if I missed anybody. Bagel Boy is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Todd Suff is on. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. You are awesome. You are awesome. Aaron fixed my Rumble. I have no idea what the problem was. No idea. Couldn't have been user error. We know that. All right, let's go to the next one. Let's launch into Trump now. Let's launch into Trump. Project Constitution tweet. Boom. FBI Director Cash Patel just dropped the hammer. Muhammad, whatever on that last name, Sharifullah. The ISIS-K scumbag tied to the Abbey Gate murders is finally in U.S. custody. Wheels down, justice up. After 3.5 years, hey, what? I wonder what. Where was he over the last? I mean, why is it that 43 days into the Trump administration he gets arrested, but Abbey Gate happens in 2022? So all of the rest of 22, nothing. All of 2023, nothing. All of 2024, nothing. And then 43 days into the Trump administration, we have one of the orchestrators of the Abbey Gate. I want to name it. Correctly, catastrophe, inexcusable catastrophe. We have one of the perpetrators of the Abbey Gate catastrophe in custody only 43 days into Donald Trump's presidency. It's just like the guy that he got out of Russia. The guy was there for being in possession of a misdemeanor amount of marijuana that he claimed to be medical marijuana. He sits in prison over there for the entire 4 years of the Biden administration. Biden does absolutely nothing. He gets Brittany Griner out. Releases, of course, an arms dealer to get Brittany Griner out, but doesn't do anything for this guy. Same offense, by the way, for all intents and purposes, marijuana possession. Both of them sentenced, I believe, to over a decade. But Trump gets him out, and what? Again, because that was a couple weeks ago, we put that slide up. So Trump gets him out really in 2 weeks. And by, I mean, again, how can you be a Democrat? I mean, how can you be a Democrat and actually not say that Trump is highly effective and every one of your politicians is not? I mean, how do you look yourself in the mirror and say, you know, being a Democrat is a positive thing? Trump is shellacking you. You look absolutely ridiculous. All the things that they couldn't stand for last night, you can't stand to keep men out of women's sports. You sit there. That is an 80-20 issue in the United States of America. 80% of Americans, I mean, logically, don't want men playing in women's volleyball tournaments or in MMA tournaments or any women's sports. It's obvious people don't want that. Most of America, I think it's 76% or higher, are in favor of what Elon Musk is doing. And as a Democrat, whenever that is talked about last night, cutting billions of dollars of waste and fraud and abuse off of our deficits and our debts, you don't applaud that. Imagine what is being a Democrat even mean now? I'm pro lopping off penises, testicles, and breasts of 12-year-old kids. I'm pro waste, fraud, and abuse. I'm against wives of murdered cops. And I not only that, but I want the people who murdered that woman's husband to be let into the country over and over again. But again, 43 days in, Trump gets the job done, and Biden couldn't get it done in, what, 2 years and 5 months? And wasn't even talking about this guy. Did anybody ever hear about this until now? I never heard anything about it because in the Biden administration, not trying to get him. I don't even know where I am. We'll go to the next one. There we go. Thank you, buddy. All right. U.S.-Mexico border encounter, speaking of the border, plummeted in February under Trump. Look at these. Look at that. How can he be a Democrat? I mean, seriously. I mean, again, it gets to be tribal and it gets to be competitive. But you know what? When you lost, you lost. It's that great video with Tucker Carlson and Piers Morgan. He just destroys Piers Morgan in a NATO debate. And Piers Morgan and Tucker just goes, listen, it's time for you just to admit defeat. I mean, if your candidate, and by the way, these are low numbers. These are not super accurate numbers. It's coming from Fox News. Because you can pretty much times these almost by two in each one of these. So yeah, this is just February. This is February encounters over basically the entire Biden administration versus Trump. Biden 2022. In February alone, he allowed 166,000. The next February, 156,000. And then make sure when he's... Remember, this is when he was trying to pass border reform through the border security bill with him and James Cuckboy Lankford. Remember? And so that very year when he decides he wants to reform, you know, comprehensive border reform, he lets in more people than any other February during his administration. Although I don't know what 2021 was. 189,000. So a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you're watching this right now. Maybe you're watching, you stumbled on CTN, and I'm making you so mad you have to continue to watch. We'll continue to watch for another couple minutes. Look at this. As a Democrat, what you support is Joe Biden allowing in last February, 189, let's round it up, because it really is only seven short of 190,000. Your boy lets in 190,000 illegals across the southern border. Our guy lets in 8,000. Who's better? How do you argue for your policies? How do you argue for your politicians? How do you argue for your politicians to win elections? Simply look at the numbers. Go to the next one for me. This is a Trump True Social post. In the month of February, my first full month in office, had the lowest number of illegal immigrants trying to enter our country in its history by far. There are only 8,326 apprehensions of illegals by Border Patrol at the U.S.-Mexico border, all of whom were quickly ejected from our nation. We didn't bring them through a process. Didn't go. We didn't release them in with a notice to appear where you don't have to appear for 7 years. That's what was happening under the Biden administration. Anybody and everybody was allowed into the country, put on an ankle monitor or given a notice to appear, which is just a slip of paper. Believe me, I issued them as a cop. Slip of paper, which has his court date on. Here you go. And released into the country. Didn't even know who these people were. Not here. Not anymore. When Trump catches them, you're immediately, quote, ejected from the country. That's how it should be. Of whom were quickly ejected from our nation or, when necessary, prosecuted for crimes against the United States of America. This means that very few people came because nobody's bothering to come anymore. The invasion of our country is over. In comparison, under Joe Biden, there were 300,000 illegals crossing in 1 month, and virtually all of them, that's why I'm telling you the Fox numbers are very low, because we track the numbers. We were tracking the numbers for the last 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve on this podcast. And there were 300,000+ a month. I mean, remember that Jesse Waters even put them out. I don't know what Fox News is doing. Maybe February is just systemically low. I don't know. Under Joe Biden, there were 300,000 illegals crossing in 1 month, and virtually all of them were released into our country. Exactly. Thanks. And Trump estimates that 21 million were allowed. Now, this is a man. You can leave this up. This is the man now who has his finger on the pulse, who gets daily intelligence briefings, daily national security briefings, daily HHS, DHS, and everything else briefings, CBP briefings. He knows 21 million people allowed into our country in 4 years. 21 million. I mean, again, that is two New York cities plus another 3 million. All of them are released into our country. Thanks to the Trump administration policies, the border is closed to all illegal immigrants. Anyone who tries to illegally enter the USA will face significant criminal penalties and immediate deportation. That's the way it doesn't need to be a process. We need to be brought in. They need to be given their constitutional rights. Why would they be given constitutional rights when you don't get constitutional rights unless you're subject to the jurisdiction they're in? Right? Things are very, very, that's birthright citizenship. You don't get constitutional rights unless you are subject to the jurisdiction of the Constitution, which as an illegal alien, you are not. So you don't need there doesn't need to be any process. Simply catch them, drive them 500 miles into Mexico. Mexico doesn't like it. Tell them to go pound sand and drop them off. Let's go to the next one. Liz Churchill video, tariffs and trade. So we got the whole tariff trade war has begun with Mexico, Canada, and China. So here's the tariff and trade war explained in 2 minutes. Play for me.
The most insane trade war has officially begun because Canada, Mexico, and China are pissed and have now all announced their own plans on how to retaliate against Trump's tariffs. So what the hell is going on? Well, you see, yesterday Trump's promised 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico and 10% on China officially kicked in. What that means is that any goods sent from these countries to the United States will now cost companies 25% more, or 10% in China's case. So for example, if a Canadian business sent a car to the U.S. that cost $50,000, today U.S. companies will pay a $12,500 tariff at the border. So the price of your once $50,000 car is now actually $62,500. Why would Trump purposefully make things more expensive for Americans? Well, two main reasons. The first is more of a longer-term, unguaranteed benefit. But it would be to change consumer habits to buy more American-made products and incentivize more international companies to manufacture in the U.S. In theory, that means a stronger U.S. economy, more stable jobs, and less dependence on foreign countries. The second reason for imposing these tariffs would be to use them as a tool to pressure Canada, Mexico, and China into doing what Trump wants. Some of these things that he's publicly mentioned include renegotiating trade deals, stopping illegal immigration, and the flow of fentanyl. There's also the far-fetched idea of Canada becoming a state of America. But here's where things get interesting, because instead of just doing what Trump wants, Canada has clapped back with a 25% tariff of their own, and Mexico said they're doing the same but haven't announced the percentage yet. China reacted a little differently by preparing to file a lawsuit with the World Trade Organization. So why is Trump not backing down? Just listen to this. In 2023, Canada sent 76% of all of their exports to the United States. That accounts for roughly 19% of their entire GDP. In 2024, Mexico sent 78% of all of their exports to the United States. That makes up 37% of their entire GDP. But for America, their exports to both countries combined only make up roughly 2.7% of their entire GDP. So simply put, even if they do retaliate, getting into a tariff war with the United States would hit Canada and Mexico much harder. Trump knows this, and he's using it.
So there you go. And we'll get into the stats here in a second with Canada, specifically per good in just a second. But the key thing is with all of this is that it's been unfair for many, 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 many years, and it's what's called trade deficits. We are paying far more to have our goods shipped to these countries than the countries are to ship them in the United States, and it's not fair. And what you do is you leverage companies then, as Trump has already done with Taiwan, as Trump has already done with Honda, as he's already done with OpenAI. They're going to need to build their companies here now because they don't want to pay the 25% tariffs to come in. You know what it's called? It's actually called logistics. And what do you get out of logistics? Logic. It's actually smart. And of course, Democrats don't care about it because all that matters to Democrat is let's form another NGO and subsidize it with taxpayer dollars and pay ourselves to run it. That's all that matters to them. The NGO doesn't do anything. The NGO doesn't manufacture anything, doesn't accomplish anything. It does absolutely nothing, but occasionally release a report giving an opinion about something. That's all these NGOs do. They do absolutely nothing. All right, so let's look at actual stats coming out of Canada. Alan Roberts' video, we should just do reciprocal tariffs with Canada and watch them fall. Exactly. Play for me.
Here it goes. The tariffs are on. But here's the truth. They're not telling you.
The tariffs that Canada levies and impose right now on U.S. products, this is not new. It's been predating Trump. Milk, 270% tariff. Cheese, 245%. Butter, 298%. Chicken, 238%. Sausages, 69.9%. Lol. Copper, 48% tariffs. Aluminum, 45% tariffs. Steel, 25% tariffs. We tariff their metals more than they tariff ours. You know, cars, 45%. TVs, 45%. Eggs, 163%.
How does that work for tariffing American cars? Usually tariffs are to protect, like, your own industry. Yeah. But we don't have any Canadian car manufacturers.
I don't think they give a fuck.
Canadians love to shit on Americans, but the hypocrisy is uncanny. All these tariffs have been online from way before Trump. Sure, a lot of it has to do with supply management, and they're based on quotas. It does not absolve the fact that we tariff American goods. We are not for free trade. Absolutely not. If not, we would flood the market.
All right, so there you go. Let me look at the numbers and keep in mind on this stuff. 78% of all of Canadians' exports came to us. 19% of their gross domestic product or higher depends on the United States. So they get all of these people, whether it's Doug Ford or Justin Trudeau or any other, I'm just letting these numbers go by. You can see them right here. Those are our tariffs that you and I are paying for, that our industries pay for to sell goods there. So something goes in there for a dollar, you know, whatever. If there's 25% tax, now it's $1.25. We don't levy those taxes on other countries. Tom, explain that to me. I can't, except for people are stupid. Or obviously there has to be politicians in Washington, D.C. that benefit off of other countries not receiving tariffs for their goods coming into the United States of America. I'll try over time to string that logic together. So 78% of exports coming out of Canada, and they have all this tough talk. It's so funny, too, to watch the Canadians react. They're clearing out their shelves now of all American whiskey. That they're clearing their shelves out. They're pulling it down, pulling off shelves, putting it in store, I guess, stored somewhere. That's already been paid for by you. You've already paid for it. So now you're not going to sell it to get your money back? I mean, these people are so stupid. You know, he's calling Canadians stupid. No, I'm calling those Canadians stupid. And there's plenty of stupid Americans, too. But I'm just saying, 78% of their exports come into the United States. How much of ours go into Canada and Mexico combined? 2.7%. 78% of their export economy, 19 to 20% of their GDP, depends on the United States of America. If you combine Mexico and Canada together, our exports to both those countries is 2.7% of our exports and about 1.8% of our GDP covering both countries. So they can wage war all they want. I'm telling you right now, people are talking about this is going to jack up prices. What do you buy from Canada? I mean, honestly, everything that I buy that's not from the United States, I look at my phone, it was built in Taiwan. It was built in Vietnam or it was built in China. I don't buy anything from Canada. So, I mean, they could claim that they want to hurt. Again, it's hard to reach any American when their exports from both Canada and Mexico combined are about 1.7% of our GDP. It's awfully hard to actually reach an American with one of your products. So none of us are buying any Canadian products. I mean, I certainly don't buy any Canadian cars. Do they even manufacture cars in Canada? Do they even have their version of Chevrolet there? They don't. Look at the numbers. Look at our tariffs. 298% on chicken, 60-70% on sausages, 48% on copper and aluminum, 25% on steel. And what do they pay? They don't pay hardly anything. Look at that, 45% on TVs, 163% on eggs. Those are the tariffs we're paying into Canada. And they're all crying. This is why this is a Canadian making this video saying that this is pure hypocrisy coming from Canadians, because he knows. They've been 270% tariff on milk, 245 on cheese. Okay, you want a tariff war? Let's have a tariff war. You don't have the economy. You don't have it, Canada. You don't have, and again, you ought to just be thankful that we protect you and just shut up. That's what you need to do, is just say, you know what? Thank you to all the Americans that have kept us from speaking Chinese or Russian over the last 100 years, because if it wasn't for America, we would be. That's what you need to do. Just say thank you and pay the freaking tariffs. Or you know what? Do what Trump asked you to do so there wouldn't be a tariff war. There you go. Isn't that smart? Life is easy. All right, Mario Nafal tweet. BlackRock takes over Panama Canal ports. That's great. After Trump slams China's influence, U.S. firms led by BlackRock, okay, everyone needs to understand that U.S. firms, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, are all majority owners in each other, and they're not American. Like Larry Fink's an American, you know, CEO of BlackRock. Doesn't mean it's, listen, he's meeting at the WEF every year. It's not an American country. It's a global conglomerate of companies. U.S. firms led by BlackRock are seizing control of the strategic Balboa and Cristobal ports in a $23 billion deal, replacing Hong Kong-based company, which is Belt and Road Initiative. And what Trump needs to do, and believe me, I hesitate to even say this, but the United States should be in control of the Panama Canal as a government. And I am not for government takeovers of almost anything, but if the government built it, which they did, 38,000 Americans died building the Panama Canal, and it's the most expensive governmental project in the history of America per capita. So shouldn't our government be running it? I mean, the government sold it. Shouldn't the government be able to reattain it? Shouldn't we be able to buy it back? And we can buy it back for exactly what we sold it for, $1. I don't know. I mean, and the Trump administration, they'll be on top of it. Trump doesn't let anything go by, but we need to find out. We don't need having Larry Fink run the Panama Canal is no better than Xi Jinping run the Panama Canal. They're both very much entrenched with Klaus Schwab and the WEF. Trump vowed to take back control last month. China is operating the Panama Canal, and China isn't anymore. But because the president of Panama decided to disengage with the Belt and Road Initiative, which is basically the infusion of cash by the CCP globally. Many ports in Australia are run by the Belt and Road Initiative. Many ports are run around the globe by the Belt and Road Initiative, which is all Chinese money. They come in, and by the way, all their money's fake. And China's actually going through a depression right now. Nobody knows because there's no media in there. I mean, they have cities that they build that are completely empty. They are having a real estate depression and an economic recession right now in China. Trump vowed to take back control last month. China's operating the Panama Canal. We're taking it back. The move aligns with Trump's push to curb foreign influence near the vital waterway. Go to the next one for me, Will. Mario Noff, I'll tweet again. BlackRock seizes Panama Canal ports. We don't need this. $19 billion mega deal. BlackRock, the world's top money manager, is acquiring the two key ports, Balboa and Cristobal. We should not be allowing this. If it's control, if it's a private port with private industry, fine. If it's actual control of the Panama Canal and international shipping, we need to take it back because BlackRock, they love to, again, BlackRock is behind or financing many of the international cabal that we're seeing all the time, whether it's COVID, whether it's the climate crisis, whether it's the non-crisis climate crisis, whether it's DEI, CRT, CBDC, the real estate debacles, the burning down of Maui, the burning down of Southern California, and BlackRock's always there to buy up the property afterwards. They certainly should not be in control of international shipping at the Panama Canal. All right, let's go to the next one. James Bradley video. Breaking Celebrity Chronicles on TikTok just dropped a bombshell. Let's go to some Ukraine stuff now. While Zelensky's wife struts around dripping in designer threads and flashing lavish vacations, her husband's grubby hands are snatching the bread right off your table. Play it for me.
Seems no one noticed Zelensky's lack of a suit because of his wife's extravagant spending. Recently, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky stormed out of a White House meeting after being questioned by reporters about why he wasn't wearing a suit. But behind this incident lies a much bigger issue. His wife, Olena Zelenska's extravagant spending. Last year, while Zelensky was humbly pleading with European leaders for additional military aid, Ukraine's Ministry of Finance records showed that First Lady Olena was in Paris, dropping 40,000 euros on a custom haute couture gown. The irony? That one dress alone could have covered the heating bills of 200 families in Kyiv for an entire month, and that's not all. While Zelensky showed up at the G7 summit in a wrinkled, outdated suit asking for more support, Olena was adding a brand new 12,000 euro Cartier piece to her jewelry collection. But the most shocking detail? The 4.8 million euro Bugatti supercar sitting in her garage, officially registered as a government vehicle for the presidential office. Even more absurd? Zelensky himself approved this purchase using a wartime special budget allocation from the Ministry of Finance. When Zelensky gave a speech at the United Nations in inappropriate clothing. And while Zelensky stood before the UN in inappropriate clothing, his wife was allegedly at the bank overseeing the latest deposit of humanitarian aid funds. This surreal reality keeps unfolding. Zelensky's dignity? It seems his wife has already priced it as just another luxury item in her collection.
Last weekend, I had a meeting in a ski resort in the Alps, which is probably the most expensive town in the world. I was not there to ski, for the record. But the whole town is Ukrainian. You know, all the visitors are Ukrainian. And they're rolling into Hermes and dropping $1 million in an afternoon. All through Europe, you see this. The richest people are the Ukrainians. That money is ours. It belongs to me and you and every other American taxpayer. That's where it's going. Second fact, not guess, fact is the Ukrainian military is selling a huge percentage, up to half of the arms that we send them. Half. And I'm not guessing about this. I know that for a fact, not speculation. And a lot of it's winding up with the drug cartels on our border. This is a crime, what's happening. Our intel agencies are fully aware of this. You tell me they're not profiting from this. Of course, you think the CIA is not profiting from this? Yes, they are. Can't prove that, but I believe that. But they don't know this. I know this, but they don't know this. They know this. No one is saying it. Like, no American seems aware of this. We're sending these arms to Ukraine, billions of millions, hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's being stolen and sold to our actual enemies. Like, what the?
All right, so there you go. I mean, again with this, if you eat, you 350, Trump says 350. None of us knew that. We had it about 200 billion. Trump says $350 billion has been sent to Ukraine. Volodymyr Zelensky says that 77 billion, it's always hard to get the B's and the M's together, billion has actually arrived. So where is the rest of the $350 billion? We know Voldemar's been buying mansions all over the globe. His wife has a government Bugatti. Is anybody saying that right here? Bugatti?
Bugatti.
His wife has a government Bugatti. A government. The government is his wife, his government. So you and I financed his wife to have what Aaron says is a $4.6 million government Bugatti in her garage. The richest people all around Europe, and Tucker knows. I mean, come on. Tucker knows. The richest people that he sees in Europe are all Ukrainians because we're giving them all these. I mean, think about it, folks. You look at the GDP of California, I believe, is the seventh largest on the globe. California and Texas is like right behind it. You give a country $350 billion. That's more than a lot of their gross domestic product probably is in Ukraine. We're always thinking on American levels where we're bringing in $4 to $5 trillion worth of tax revenue and $30 trillion worth of revenue per year in our country. What does the Ukraine actually bring in? When we're giving them an infusion of $350 billion and they're driving around in government Bugattis? And again, if you're a Democrat, you support this and want this to continue. And who has a real positive attitude about Ukraine? Play it for me, Will.
President Zelensky, you are a hero. And we have to make sure that this brutal aggression never succeeds.
All right, were you guys wrong or was I wrong?
That was the next video that was up.
Okay. Klaus was supposed to be the one that played, right?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, yeah, I know, but there's something else flashed first.
Oh.
Was it me or was it you guys?
That was my fault.
Okay. Let's make sure, because if it's me, I want to fix it, because that means I skipped the slide. All right, so I just wanted to show you. You always have to look. You keep your friends close, your enemies closer. The enemy, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So you know who loves Ukraine is the WEF. And the richest people on the globe, according to Tucker Carlson, who travels the globe, everybody he sees, the richest are Ukrainians. And again, $350 billion shows up there. They're only claiming that 77 actually showed up. And Tucker knows, and he knows that our intel agencies know, that they've sold off about a half of the armaments that we've sent there. And a lot of them are showing up on the Mexican-U.S. border. All right, concerned citizen video. President Zelensky, you are a hero. I'm on the wrong one. Okay. Gunther Eagleman. I love this video. To all of you who stand with Ukraine, here's an option. Play for me.
Right there. See it? So to all of you that you stand with Ukraine, I stand with Ukraine. Trump bad, orange man bad. Go. Go. Just go. It's your time. It's your time to shine. You stand with Ukraine by all means. Go. You go now. Go. Still here.
That is an option for every American. It isn't like here where you can't get into our military. You can go and join. I don't know why all these people aren't men and women. All of these suburbanite white women in their minivans with their lopped off hair. Go and join the military. You already lopped your hair off anyway. Go and join the Ukrainian military. It's open. I don't understand why. If I was that fervent about something where I'm like, there was a woman on, it was like TikTok, who actually transformed herself into Volodymyr Zelensky. She transformed her, cut her hair off and transformed herself into Volodymyr Zelensky, painting her face. If you're that enthusiastic about and so committed to Ukraine, especially over your own country, why wouldn't you go join the military? Since the beginning of the full-scale armed invasion of Ukraine by the Russian Federation, 24th of February 2022, war and activity, joining the Ukraine military is voluntary. Go and fight. All everybody on the left, you can go and fight. If I was that fervent about something, I would go fight. Let me show you this MAGA resource video. Video, Zelensky's overreach threatens Ukraine's future. Play for me.
Hello, Mr. President Trump. My name is Oleksandr Dubinsky, and I'm a member of the Ukrainian parliament. I have been in prison for 14 months for one reason only. I told the truth about the Biden's corruption in Ukraine. In 2019, I was the first to expose how Joe Biden was using Ukraine for his personal financial gain. I exposed how his son, Hunter Biden, got millions of dollars through offshore schemes and Burisma. I spoke as a lawmaker, and I spoke as a patriot of Ukraine. But after Biden won in 2020, Zelensky's government, following Washington crazy orders, opened four absolutely stupid and fake criminal cases against me. In November 2023, they put me in prison. No evidence, no trial, no investigation. I was never even asked for testimony. They just want to shut me up and silence my public voice, but they failed. They failed because Biden's corruption is a fact. It's a fact. The American Congress and American court have proven that Hunter Biden received money from Ukrainian officials. He confessed to it. But who's in prison? Dubinsky, not Biden. For what? For speaking the truth about Biden's corruption at a press conference. For exposing Soros network, the same Soros who is together with Yermak and Zelensky helped to steal your election in 2020. For fighting corruption that steals billions and billions from American taxpayers under the cover of aid to Ukraine. And how do they label me? A Russian agent. Why? Just simply because I was near Derkach, someone I have no ties to. Just like I have no ties to Russia or Russian intelligence. Does it seem familiar, Mr. Trump? They did the same to you. They call everyone who speaks about Biden's corruption a Russian agent. They destroy the truth so they can keep stealing billions and billions of dollars under the cover of helping Ukraine. War is a tremendously huge money business for Zelensky. And the Ukrainian people want peace instead. 70% of Ukrainians want the war to stop, but not Zelensky. He doesn't want peace because peace is more dangerous for him than a war. He canceled elections because he knows he will lose. He keeps the country in fear because without fear he will lose the power. He continues the war not for victory, but for money and power. The United States held elections even during the Civil War, but Zelensky canceled the right of Ukrainians to vote. Why? Because if the Ukrainian people vote, they will never elect him again. The Biden corruption machine must be stopped. You made a huge step. You cut funding to the Soros network in Ukraine. You broke their monopoly over the media, over the propaganda pushing the war. But President Trump, the people of Ukraine trust you and have hope for your presidency. We know you are the only one who can stop this mess. Audit Ukraine. Audit every single dollar sent to Ukraine since 2020. Shut down the money flow to Zelensky dictatorship. Let and help Ukraine restore peace, democracy, the rule of law, political stability, and justice. Today, Soros and Biden are using Ukraine to make money. But this is not a war. This is their huge money business. The Ukrainian people are praying for you, Mr. Trump. Fight, fight, and fight them.
And it happened again with the mineral deal, because news yesterday, just prior to Trump's speech, was that Ukraine was ready to sign the mineral deal, and then they pulled back again. And this is why they've been so frustrated. And again, it's just like all the idiots that claim Slava Ukraine, Putin's evil, Zelensky's good. No, Putin is not as evil as Zelensky. I mean, that's a fact. Putin was pushed into this war by NATO aggression. Simple as that, and overturned elections by the CIA and John Kirby and Jake Sullivan and all the rest of them inside of Ukraine. But what was happening behind the scenes prior to the White House eruption, which needed to occur, Vance was right, Trump was right. The guy asking Zelensky, the reporter was asking Zelensky about, why don't you wear a freaking suit into the White House? Now, he was right too. But there was a lot of things behind the scene before. There was 10 days worth of Zelensky going, I'm ready to sign the mineral deal. The mineral deal's not even needed by us. We don't even need that deal. First of all, we can get every mineral, every rare earth we want from Russia themselves. And again, it just came out. So Europe, Ursula von der Leyen in her home country of Germany, it was just found out that Germany and all of the European Union has received more money in Russian oil than they gave to Ukraine for the war. So let's just put in understandable numbers. They spent $200 billion on Russian oil funding Russia and sent $100 billion for Ukraine to fight Russia. That makes sense, sir?
Yeah.
What is anything that we see actually real? No, it's a bunch of politicians profiteering 100% of the time, 7 days a week, 365. That's all that we're seeing. That's it. There's no Slava Ukraine, and it's old men knowing each other, causing young men who don't know each other to die. Credit Elon Musk. And that's what's happening. So he said once again yesterday, I'm ready to sign the mineral deal. Now he doesn't. He was doing that for 10 days prior to the Oval Office explosion, Prior, you know, 10 days, he was saying that. He was pissing off Marco Rubio. He's pissing off Treasury Secretary. He's pissing off everybody. He was saying, I'm going to sign. But then the moment he could have signed, he would go, well, I want security guarantees. Well, he knows we can't do security guarantees without a ceasefire. It makes absolutely no sense. You have to have a ceasefire first and a sustained ceasefire. Then you can start talking about security guarantees. But you can't do that until you have a ceasefire. He knows that because he doesn't really want the minerals deal because he actually wants us to continue to finance him because we already know, too. On January 16th of this year, he signed a mineral rights deal with the UK. So their mineral rights are already sold off. The Keir Starmer and the $100 billion that the European Union, including the UK, gave to the Ukraine is all loan guaranteed. And now rare earth guaranteed. And all of ours is lost. $350 billion lost into the wind. And we're supposed to just continue to eat that. Or you're pro-Putin. If you tell the truth, you're pro-Putin. No, I'm not pro-Putin. I'm pro whatever is actually true. That's what I'm pro. And all of these people who are allegedly so anti-Putin by $200 billion a year of his oil and then finance his geopolitical and adversary in a war. How does that make sense? No, we're and now you have Ursula von der Leyen. We need to immediately rearm. You're gonna rearm against the people that you buy all your oil from? How are you gonna rearm without their oil? Because it requires your oil for you to rearm and build all your military industrial complex. I mean, you're gonna have to have oil to build all of that. All right, let me show you this off of Ukraine now. I just had to show you this because it's a fun video. Thomas Hearn video. Aaron, you edited this one, right? Because we still got 3 minutes on.
Yeah.
Okay, be. Good. Yeah, 1F, 1S.
Yeah.
All right, Musk, we offered to bring them back early. Here it is. This is what real, and this is unbelievable. I didn't know this. I know that Elon Musk has rescued our astronauts before, but I didn't know that they're still sitting up there, and they've yet to be, and there's more up there that are waiting to be rescued, but Joe Biden wouldn't let Elon Musk rescue them because if he rescued them prior to the election, then he wouldn't get the credit for it. Play for me.
Still rescuing those people that are stuck in the space station?
Yeah, that's coming up in a couple weeks, I think.
Whoa. They've been up there for how long, Jamie? They were supposed to be there for a couple days, right?
Actually, probably 4 weeks. Oh, they're supposed to be there. They were supposed to be up there for like 8 days.
Yeah.
And they've been up there for like, I think, 8 months. So a little longer than expected. Yeah.
What is it going to be like for those people when they get back? They're going to be a wreck for a long time, right?
Yeah. If the longer you stay up there, you get, you know, sort of in zero G, you get increased bone loss. So it ended up being like this political football and sort of hotly contested topic. We offered to bring them back early. This offer was rejected by the Biden administration.
Why?
For political reasons.
That's so crazy.
I mean, there's no way that they're going to make anyone who's supporting Trump look good.
Wow. What do you think they would have done if they had won?
Well,
how would they get those people back?
No, they can only get them back with a SpaceX spacecraft. But they pushed the return date past the inauguration date.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they would have let you do it, but after the... Yeah. Wow. And so it would have been them authorizing you.
Well, there isn't anyone else to do it.
NASA can't get them.
The SpaceX Dragon spacecraft is the only one that is considered safe enough to bring them back. So NASA concluded that the Boeing spacecraft was not safe. So that's why they're stuck there.
Holy...
Aaron, do me a favor. See if you can find out the originating date for NASA, just so I'm accurate on my dates. How is it when NASA was formed? How is it, or anything close to NASA, how is it that after all these years, because it had to be somewhere in the 1960s or just prior that NASA was formed, so that's what, 60 to 2000 is 40 years. Now we're in 2020. So 65 years old. Okay, 67 years old. Aaron just sent me October 1st, 1958, NASA was formed. So 67 years ago, NASA was formed, and the only people that can actually rescue our astronauts... Aaron's laughing. Makes me laugh whenever he laughs. The only people that can rescue our astronauts stuck in space, who are supposed to be there for 8 days, have been there for 8 months, is Elon Musk, who's been in space work for, what, a decade? If that. So Elon Musk with his SpaceX Dragon, he has the only spacecraft that has the ability to safely rescue astronauts stuck in space for 8 months. when you've been, again, this just shows you why government doesn't work. Because you in government, you have people spending other people's money on projects that are not their own. That is Milton Friedman. That is the worst sort of economy you can have. You want everything to be private, everything to be capitalistic. Because look what's happened. Elon Musk, he's only been in the space industry for a decade. And by himself, with not nearly the budget of the federal government over the last 67 years, trillions spent on NASA. And now Elon Musk, via SpaceX Dragon, is the only one that can rescue astronauts. And the other side of the story is Joe Biden. And again, people being stuck in space is not a healthy situation. Yeah, he's talking about bone density or bone loss. Elon Musk is talking about when you're living at zero G. Joe Biden would rather people get sick then suffer a political loss. That's who these people are. That's how you can understand the monsters that we saw in the speech last night, not being able to applaud a cancer survivor or the widow of a murdered cop or the mother of a murdered daughter from an illegal alien. That's how you can actually understand. Joe Biden, you know, these people can be rescued right now by Elon Musk. Yeah, but Elon Musk is pro-Trump. Okay, don't rescue him then. We'll see how the election goes. I mean, can you imagine what a monster you have to be to think like that? All right, let's get into this now. Let's get into Doge. Carly Bonet video. Roberts and Barrett are at it again. Justice Roberts and Justice Barrett are at it again. Play for me.
A judge's order that could force the Trump administration to resume foreign aid payments. A lot of this has to do with USAID, and Shannon Bream is on that. Shannon, what happened?
Okay, so this is one of the very first things from this term to make it fully to some kind of decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. And this is about foreign aid that was ordered to be paid out by a lower court judge. There were groups who take in USAID money. And they had gone and said, listen, this freeze is harming us. And they went to the district court judge, that lower court level, and he said, yes, the government has to pay this out. It went through the appeals, got to the Supreme Court. They, by a 5-4 vote today, say they won't put that judge's order on hold. But they've told that lower court, now you need to explain to the Trump administration exactly what money you want them to pay out. The dissenters, led by Justice Alito, also with Thomas, Gorsuch, and Kavanaugh, which means that Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Barrett did side with the Democrats appointees on the court. They've said they're dissenting. And let me read you a little bit of this. They say the court makes a most unfortunate misstep that rewards an act of judicial hubris and imposes a $2 billion penalty on American taxpayers. They say the relief that's been ordered to pay this money out is an extreme response. It says a federal court has many tools to address a party's supposed malfeasance. Self-aggrandizement of its jurisdiction is not one of them. In plain English, they think the lower court got it wrong and was way out of bounds to order this money paid out. They say it's going to be to the harm of the American taxpayer. They've now said to that lower court, explain to the Trump administration exactly what they have to do. But the order stands. The money's got to go out.
Shannon, how big of a surprise is
that? All right, so there you go. Now, you understand this real quick. Okay? You know, they're talking fast. It's hard to catch everything they're saying. So what the Supreme Court did, this was, of course, in response to the dual citizenship Muslim judge Ali, remember strike one, his ruling that Trump had to unfreeze USAID funding because we have to spend all that money on circumcisions on Mozambique and circumcisions and birth control in Afghanistan. That money has to be unfrozen, according to this judge. How in the world the judiciary could have that level of control over the executive branch is not constitutional in any way, shape, or form, and Trump should blow it off. But what? So now we have the Supreme Court. Well, we have the advantage 6-3. No, we don't. No, we don't, because Amy Coney Barrett is anything but conservative, anything but reliable, and Justice Roberts, a Bush appointee, has been basically siding with the left for years. Occasionally, we do get him on our side, though, because Roe v. Wade was overturned by both of those justices. So it's tough to, like, really hate what they do, but this what they kind of remind me how I used to feel about Elon Musk. They vacillate back and forth. But a lot of the time, Coney Barrett has been a grievous disappointment. But in their majority statement, yeah, you know, you have like the rebuttal and then you have the majority statement. So it was a 5-4 decision with both Coney Barrett and Justice Roberts signing with the minority, which is what, Elena Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. who doesn't know what a woman is. But anyway, so in this majority opinion, which sadly is now the ruling opinion, they say that they themselves are endorsing judicial to the harm of the court and even to the harm of the American taxpayers. They themselves, as the majority, are endorsing judicial hubris. In other words, they're saying that they are supporting a judge who stepped out of bounds. Hubris, stepped out of bounds. Why are you? Then why would you side with them? Because they're trying to play both sides so that they look honorable. They look reasonable. I told you many people, I don't know how to verbalize it the way that I want to verbalize it, but many Christians are this way. Most pastors like this because that's why they closed. That's why they stood 6 feet apart. That's why they endorsed vaccinations, pimped them and hoarded them from their own pulpits, is because they want to appear reasonable. I've known so many Christians. You know, I just want to appear loving. I want to appear reasonable and accommodating and intolerant, which is the antithetical to Jesus himself, who was anything but accommodating and tolerant. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6 is anything but tolerant and accommodating. So what they're saying is we are endorsing judicial buffoonery by siding with this person. Then why are you siding with them? It's obvious that a district judge in D.C., a federal judge, a district judge in D.C., it's asinine idiocy to say that he can decide what is spent or not spent by the Trump administration. And so what they've done, this is really outlined well by Mike Davis, but it's another video where Bannon's talking about it, which really sums it up another way. Now what's going to happen is this is going to get kicked back to Ali. And he, I'm trying to get D.C., Muslim D.C. judge, Amir Hatam Madai Ali, who ordered the Trump administration to temporarily lift the funding freeze on U.S. foreign aid abroad. So what's going to happen is now this gets kicked back, and what the SCOTUS has said to Ali is that you have to specifically name what spending has to be unfrozen. So he's going to have to say, I want the $50 million for Mozambique circumcisions to be unfrozen. And what will happen then is that the Trump administration will then appeal those individual decisions. And maybe that is what the Supreme Court is looking for. And so I'm just telling you, it's far from being won. It is a setback and it is, quote unquote, a loss. But it could be a very temporal loss, because when it does get kicked back to Ali, he's going to have to specifically say, imagine, I mean, it just pisses me off talking about it, that he's going to have to specifically tell Trump what you can and cannot spend your money on. He's going to be able to, you have to unfreeze that. You have to unfreeze that. And when Trump does, when that happens, Trump's attorneys are then going to appeal that back to the Supreme Court, which could be what the SCOTUS is looking for. Here's another opinion by somebody with far more expertise than me, obviously, Mike Davis from the Article 3 Project. Bannon's War Room video, she's a rattled law professor with her head up her butt. He uses the A word. Head up her butt. Speaking of Amy Coney Barrett, Mike Davis, play for me.
So I think that the left is overreading the Supreme Court's order last night or this morning. And I think what you're going to see is not a penny will be spent from the Trump administration based upon that Supreme Court order. This is going to go back down to this radical Obama judge, Ali, the first Muslim and Arab on the D.C. federal court, as he brags, this Canadian citizen who's on the D.C. federal court. It's going to go back to Judge Ali, and he's got, as the Supreme Court made very clear, Judge Ali has to make a very clear ruling, and then he has to give the government sufficient time. It can't just be write a check for $2 billion in the next 24 hours or we're putting you in jail, because this Judge Ali is a buffoon. He's this new 39-year-old judge who got confirmed in the lame duck session. And so then Judge Ali is a radical Marxist freak. And so he's going to make an unreasonable ruling again. And this is going to be appealed again up the chain, probably to the Supreme Court. And I think that the Chief Justice and Justice Barrett may come to their senses by the time that happens again.
Let me just play. This is a 10-second clip. And I think from the way this is positioned, this is President Trump leaving
So it's Amy Coney Barrett after she heard the historic speech. It might have been reversed on tape, but I think this is after the speech, President Trump leaving. Let's go ahead and play it. It's about an 8-second clip, no sound. Let's go ahead and play it for our audience. Okay, right there, Mike Davis, that's about as close to stink eye as you can get. That's not a happy, you know, I've had a couple of my ex-wives look at me like that. That is not a look of admiration and what a great speech and what a magnificent president. I think they went back and did the ruling afterwards. How can we depend? I mean, come on, man. This, are we going to lose these 5-4? Everything's going to hang on these decisions that are going to take place over the next 6 months. And we have monumental decisions are going to come on the emergency docket of the Supreme Court. Because, hey, vote. And these guys, the people in the Justice Department, you're one of the architects of this. You guys are pushing the edge here, right? This is all gas, no brakes. And it's going to depend on, at the end of the day, Roberts and Amy Coney, you know, Barrett, thinking like conservatives think, is it not, sir?
Well, I think that you need to have Supreme Court justices who are bold, who are fearless, and who will follow the Constitution, and they don't care about what the you know, the Chevy Chase Country Club crowd thinks about your rulings, right? Or you don't care about what the, you know, other moms at your, you know, Catholic school, PTA, think about your rulings. Your job is to follow the Constitution. And if you can't do that, if you're fearful that protesters are going to come murder you in your home, if that's going to make you change your opinion, then you should probably go look for a different job, right? You're not going to be bold and fearless.
But Mike, I got that. But isn't she the flower of the Federalist Society? Wasn't she promoted by the leadership of the Federalist Society? Isn't this supposedly the best we got, sir?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this about Justice Amy Coney Barrett. I've always said this. She's a rattled law professor with her head up her ass, and she needs to understand that she is a Supreme Court justice. She's not at Notre Dame law school anymore. She's at the Supreme Court. She's not on the B team anymore, right? So she has to step up, and she needs to make sure she understands that she is a justice, right? And she needs to follow the Constitution. And sometimes that's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to have to slap down a Marxist Canadian judge on the D.C. District Court who's trying to sabotage the president of the United States when he's exercising his core Article II powers as commander-in-chief and chief executive officer. And so, you know, it's not a pleasant job sometimes. Sometimes people show up outside of your house and maybe they make you nervous with your 25 kids, but you still have to follow the Constitution. And if you can't do that, go back to Notre Dame.
He's exactly right. You make decisions as a judge based on whatever requisites there are set in place by the Constitution, whether it's guilt or innocence, based on proof beyond a reasonable doubt. If it's civil case, preponderance of the evidence, whatever it is, that's how you decide it, period. It doesn't matter whether there's going to be protests. We all know that Derek Chauvin is rotting in prison. Even if Derek Chauvin, the person who allegedly killed George Floyd, which obviously he did not, died of a fentanyl poisoning, 3 times the lethal amount of fentanyl in George Floyd's bloodstream. And I just looked at his medical examiner report just 2 days ago, and it says no injuries caused the death. So it says on the mat, and Derek Chauvin, imagine this. Imagine being in prison for 22 years. You're like, Tom, weren't you just talking about it? Don't worry, I'll get back. Imagine being in prison for 22 years because you killed a person, because you injured that person, right? But on the medical examiner's report, it says no injuries caused the death. That's right on the report. That's how it is. But the judge in that case didn't have the courage to rule correctly. It's obvious. If you have a 95% oxygenation rate at the moment of death, as George Floyd did, then it's impossible for Derek Chauvin to asphyxiate the man. It's impossible. But yet, Derek Chauvin's in prison for asphyxiating George Floyd when George Floyd was never one time asphyxiated. Not once. But the judge doesn't have the balls to rule correctly because, just like Amy Coney Barrett, he's afraid of the consequences of ruling correctly, which is most pastors in this country don't preach the gospel because they're afraid of the consequences of preaching the gospel. Oh, someone's going to be offended if I tell them they're going to hell. They're going to go to hell whether they're offended or not. So you might as well tell them so at least they have a chance to avert hell. Would you not agree? So it's just Amy Coney Barrett. What are the consequences? Nobody's going to think of me as reasonable if I side with the conservatives. The conservatives are correct, so you should side with them. They are constitutionally correct, so you side with them. No federal judge has the ability to stipulate to the executive branch what they can and cannot spend money on. But she doesn't have the balls, and I know she's a woman, but she doesn't have the feminine balls to actually rule correctly. She's afraid that she's not going to, the Harvard Review won't consider her, won't consider her prestigious anymore. She loses credibility. Who cares? I have no credibility. Because I preach right out of the Bible, so I have no credibility. Fine, I don't care. God knows. God gives me credibility. And she needs to operate the exact same way because she has sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution, whether she's a Christian or not. She needs to uphold her oath and rule according to the Constitution. No federal judge can stipulate to the executive branch how they can and cannot spend money. This was all supposed to be about Doge, by the way, because it is, because that was the money that was cut by Doge and should have been cut by Doge. Listen to this. I got a couple of these. Man, it's already 10:14. Holy crap. This show's supposed to be over at 10. I need to breathe. I'm good. All right, Wall Street Apes video. I have to show you these. These things really just piss me off. Oh, my God. They just piss me off. Wall Street Apes video. This is why we have to have Doge. And it's not just Doge. We need federal investigations into people like Josh Gottheimer, Democrat rep, because he has already insider traded $91 million this year, this guy. $91 million.
This year?
This year.
3 months.
Okay, he makes $147,000 a year. Play for me, Will.
Democratic Josh Gottheimer lives in a $10 million New Jersey penthouse. It has 5 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, a private terrace, and a garage where he keeps his Lamborghini Aventador and Rolls-Royce Phantom. He even bought a $30 million private jet to fly to his vacation home in Malibu where he keeps his yacht. And so far this year, Josh Gottheimer has traded $91 million using insider trading. Since he trades using insider information, I just buy when he buys and I sell when he sells. And a lot of people are copying his stock trades at Boris Finance.com. For example, when Josh Gottheimer bought $20 million in Microsoft stock on August 5th, 2022, the stock immediately shot up 44%, making him $8.8 million in profits. I don't know about you, but that's not a bad trade at all.
When have you ever bought a stock that shot up 44% in a day, making you $8 million? It's impossible unless you are the congressman or the congresswoman in charge of regulating the companies that are part of your stock portfolio. That's the only way. When you know that you are going to cause a dip or you are going to cause a rise. And one of the worst in Congress is Danny Crenshaw. Danny Crenshaw has been big on Meta stock. He suddenly is big on Meta at Facebook stock. And right when he gets big on Meta stock, he goes out and starts to actively publicly campaign for TikTok to be torn down until TikTok to be shut down, and because it's a CCP company, which it is, when we had debated that on the show, and I'm a middle of the roader on that. But anyway, so he goes out in public and is actively campaigning for TikTok to be taken down, and then his stock goes. He makes millions off of Facebook. I don't want to say he makes millions. He makes a lot of money. I don't know how much it was. It shot up a lot, 48%. So he made a lot, whatever his initial investment was. I take back the millions part. But he made 48. Who makes 48% ever in stocks? If you have an 8% year, it's considered huge. But these congressmen and women, like Gottheimer, makes $91 million this year already as a private jet. He makes $147,000 a year. They're regulating. They are buying stocks that they're in charge. They're in charge of regulating whatever committee they're on. If they're buying energy stocks, then they are the regulators for energy and they're buying energy stocks. And they're being caught doing this. This is patent. This is patent insider trading. It is absolute blatant insider trading. And they need to be federally prosecuted for it. But Dan Crenshaw, He was buying Meta stock and actively campaigning to take down TikTok until it came time to vote on TikTok, and his stock had already exponentially gone through the roof with Facebook, and then voted against taking down TikTok after actively campaigning to take down TikTok. It's the country we live in. All right, that's good. I got so much. Gosh, I've got so much. That's good, though. It's 10:18. If I go to the next thing, it's going to be 30 minutes. I can't do it. I mean, I feel like doing it. I do. I'm all jazzed up because I didn't do a podcast last night, so I'm full of it now. I had to keep my mouth shut for almost 2 hours because I don't want to talk over Trump. All right. Appreciate you guys. I really do. Thank you. 1,271 people watching. Listen, stick around for the post game. I'm talking about what do you think it is, Aaron? 30 seconds worth of me talking and my wife's. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about 30 seconds worth of what do you want to quote unquote ads, commercials. And then we're going right to the post game. Stick around for the post game. It is awesome. Rumble Rants, Nate Dad won $50. Thank you so much. Nude Monk, haven't seen you for a while on the rant anyway. Love you, man. Appreciate you. $20. Thank you to everybody in the chat tonight. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. God bless you. Back here tomorrow night at 9:00. See you then.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.